All right, let's turn our attention to the Quebec election campaign and some of the economic aspects and ramifications of election promises. Now, Eric Duhem, we mentioned this earlier in the show. Eric Duhem has vowed to end the SAQ's alcohol monopoly. He vowed to libérer le vin, right? Liberate wine in the province. Now, how will this work? And is it a smart economic idea? And while we're talking about economic ideas, let's talk also about the economics of tax cuts. Moshe Lander is a senior lecturer in economics at Concordia University and joins us now. Moshe, welcome back to the show.
Hello.
So, first things first, let's talk about the notion of the SAQ, its sort of stranglehold on how Quebecers get their fancy wines here. Can you talk to us about, and maybe you've looked across the country and other places and how they handle sales, how do we handle it here in Quebec, and is the model a good one for the economy, for Quebec taxpayers? What say you?
So it's an antiquated way to handle it. And I think what we have here is just some sort of institutional history that, well, this is the way we've done it for a century, so let's just keep doing it. And so it's refreshing when you hear someone come along and say, wait, why are we doing it this way? When the nature of the province and transportation and living patterns have changed so drastically. So I would actually be in favor of that privatization. And that's what we see in my home province of Alberta, where it's not stranglehold of the government and much more market driven.
Okay. So on the market driven aspect of things, right? We were discussing this earlier on the show. We had one of our callers call in and say, well, listen, you know, sometimes if you end up with, you know, private sales, like retail shops that are owned privately, there's all other types of issues when it comes to selection. So I had a listener say, hey, you know, in Alberta, we don't have the greatest selection. And I wondered if it had to do with the fact that so much of our alcohol that we buy now is controlled by big conglomerates. And they can have a big say, right, if it's a fully private system. But tell me if I'm wrong here. Does Alberta have more selection and better access because of their private model?
I mean, it depends on what you're drinking, right? And so it depends on what you're looking for. The easier access is certainly more attractive, right? The fact that you don't necessarily have to go into an SAQ location, that you can go anywhere that you want, and it's much more readily available. I know where I live, you know, they had just opened a new alcohol store a block away. You know, that type of thing isn't going to happen as easily when you have the SAQ not only controlling the locations, but trying to make sure that those locations are spread out in a way to eliminate competition among the various stores, right, so that they can maximize their tax take from it. If you decentralize the market, depending on how you decentralize it, if you say, hey, listen, anything can come into this province, you can have a wider selection. If you're going to say, look, we're going to allow private stores to sell this alcohol, but it's still subject to the decisions of what the Quebec government deems appropriate, then yeah, you might not find a wider selection. You could actually find that things shrink in size because, yeah, the conglomerates will offer better deals for their products that the local wineries maybe can't compete with.
We have such a great juxtaposition that we can do between Alberta and Quebec when it comes to something like this. When I hear François Legault talk about this issue, there's often a reference to the money that the SAQ brings in. So, Moshe, can you privatize certain aspects and also keep the money going into government coffers and maybe increase the money that goes to government coffers if you privatize?
100%. So last year, SAQ netted the Quebec government about $1 billion. So there's no reason when you privatize it, first of all, you're going to have all of these stores that are probably going to be sold into private hands. So right away, you can say that, hey, these are profitable stores. You can sell them off, and that money can be used instantaneously to pay down the debt. The debt that's paid down means that there's less interest payments, which itself generates a return for the government. And you can tax these stores just like any other business that has to pay corporate taxes. So if they are profitable, if they do offer a wider variety, if they offer better hours, then in theory it's to make them more profitable. And so the government can still have its cut. In this case, though, it's just going to be as a portion of corporate taxes. But you also get the sell-off of having to deal with all of the employees and the regulation, and what does the Quebec government know anyway about selling beer and alcohol? So selling that stuff off means that the government can eliminate a layer of administration that they're paying to deal with it, which could mean lower taxes.
I still love my SAQ points so much. Maybe that's why I'm biased on this one. Let me ask you this, and I don't know if we have these numbers. Like, do we know how much Alberta makes off of alcohol sales? So is there like an economic case there? One thing I do know on the pot front, on the cannabis front, it's kind of striking how little money Alberta is making on cannabis sales right now compared to Quebec with its SQDC. So I say there, well, geez, a heavy-handed government approach in Quebec, a hands-off private sales in Alberta on pot, and I know for a fact Quebec's making more money there. Is it different in alcohol? Do you know?
It is different, but it's also a different province, mm-hmm. too, right? Let's not forget that. You know, if we're going to play to stereotype, Quebecers are more likely to be the wine and spirits drinkers, and Alberta's more likely to be the beer drinkers,
ah,
right?
Gotcha.
And so the way that you're taxing those two could be different. But the other thing, too, of course, is just on without playing to stereotype, it's just straight Quebec has three times the number of people that Alberta does, and that in itself is going to create a huge difference in the tax takes of the two provinces.
We are with Moshe Lander from Concordia University, senior lecturer in economics. So, Moshe, I want to talk about tax cuts here. Last week, it was the overriding theme of the promises, right? And we had the CAQ and the Liberals and the Conservative Party, you know, promising substantial tax cuts here. And then there's this idea, and Quebec Solidaire is like, whoa, no tax cuts. We got to pay for health care. Like, we could use that money for other stuff here. Moshe, in your opinion, always in your opinion here, are Quebecers due for a tax cut? Is there the case to be made that this tax cut is A, necessary and could lead to maybe some more economic prosperity here? What say you?
So a tax cut is always a good thing. I don't think people are going to object to tax cuts. What's missing is if you're going to cut taxes, you need to cut spending. And so where are you going to cut that spending? And so sometimes what you hear is the argument that the tax cut is itself going to create new jobs and people moving into the province, and that itself is going to create new income sources, which will make up for the tax cuts. Those things are a little iffy, but if you take a look at the CAQ's own projection, they view that the province is fundamentally in deficit. It's called a structural deficit. That means that even if the economy is running at full capacity, the government will still run a deficit. So any party that comes along and says, well, we want to cut taxes, okay, we probably are taxed more in this province than in almost any other province, but where are you going to cut spending to go with it? And these promises of efficiency gains and those sorts of hard-to-measure soft targets really don't make up for the idea that, no, you got to talk about program cutting. And that's the type of thing that if Quebecers are saying we want more program spending, mm-hmm. then a tax cut is totally the wrong thing.
I've heard that next year we'll be back to surpluses in Quebec deficit-wise, and we have the Fonds Génération, the Generations Fund there. Is there wiggle room for a Quebec government because of those two things?
No. So because what economists would look at is that structural situation, that if the economy runs flat out, we will run a deficit. Then if we're running a surplus, it's indicative that we're just running beyond capacity. And so that's not sustainable. And at some point, it's going to revert back to deficit. So I would think that, no, it's not that we have a lot of wiggle room for this sort of thing, especially when we ramped up the debt over the last couple of years because of COVID payments. You know, that debt is a little on the high side by provincial levels. That needs to be paid down. And so that means that we have to run a series of surpluses for an extended period of time, not just kind of a one-off that, hey, next year we'll be in surplus and maybe for the next 3 years.
Moshe Lander is a senior lecturer in economics at Concordia University. Thanks for joining us this morning.
Anytime.